Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight, Lord, to be gathered here. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would come, Lord, and just speak to us from your word, Father, tonight, Lord, and assuring our hearts, dear God. And Lord, you know, Father, if there's any needs, dear God, that, Father, that, you know, that you would know of, that, Lord, that you would just direct us there, dear God. And we rely on you, and you receive all glory from this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. A new man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Amen. We're going to just stop there. You may be seated. We had, Paul actually writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, something actually speaking of this, saying, as it's written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And and he's talking here about being caught up into the third heaven in paradise. And you know, the things that we actually know about heaven is actually right now, is as far as the third heaven, all we know is that there's a city there, that God is there, that is where we're going in the rapture, when the bride is raptured, the dead in Christ rise, and then we're all caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and that's where we're going, is where God is. And remember Brother Branham, when he was went beyond the curtain of time, as he would coin the phrase there of that, and he actually said in several places, he said I was caught up into the first heaven. And but Brother Branham, and we brought this out when we spoke about the body change and different things. And that I'll speak a little more about it tonight, but Brother Branham, he brings out about these, he calls them channels that mortals live in here, and he says they're channels, there's channels going up, channels going down. He says in the mess of demonology, other places he calls them dimensions. And he also we've learned this, he says, you know, we got here, we live in the dimension of mortals, where mortals are alive and breathing. We're living here in this dimension. But Brother Branham says, going downward, he says, there's a trinity of dimensions. He says, the first is the dimension where the souls of the unjust, the lost, go when they die. He says, the next dimension below that is actually the dimension where is the second dimension. It's where the demons are. It's where actually Satan is. The third dimension down is actually hell. Many people think the devil and his angels, they're in hell now. They're not. They're in that second dimension going down. They're not going to be cast into hell until after the judgment. But you know, we refer to all of those things as actually being like hell. It's the unjust souls and the demons and then hell. And then Brother Branham says, then, you know, of course, going up, there is the dimension where the born-again believers, when they die, they go to that dimension, which Brother Branham referred to it as the first heaven. And that was where he went, when he went beyond the curtain of time, as he called it, and saw those believers there, and the angel took him there. And Brother Branham actually said, talking about that experience, he says, it's no wonder Paul said, whether I was out of the body or in the body, I cannot tell. Brother Branham says, I couldn't really tell. He says, I looked back, I saw my body laying on the bed, but then here I was up here. And so he says, no wonder Paul said that. Brother Branham says, then, you know, the second dimension going up, or the second heaven, is actually where the angels are. And then the third heaven is where God himself is. And that's where Jesus Christ is. And Brother Branham says, now, mortals that live in this dimension, he says, they're either influenced by the channels that are coming from down, he says, or they're influenced from up here. And remember how Brother Branham gives that illustration about when Jesus went and to the woman at the well. And Brother Branham asked the question. He says, what was it, you know, because of how the woman reacted to him when he said, you've said, well, you're not married. You had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And he said the way she reacted to that and the difference and the priests. He said at the temple, the priests, they said, he's Beelzebub, the prince of devils. That's how he knows these things. He's reading minds. Brother Branham said, but she didn't react that way. She reacted, said, this is the Messiah. He's told me everything I've ever done. And Brother Branham said, what was the difference between the woman at the well and the priests at the temple? Now, the priests at the temple were religious. They were churchgoers. But what was she was an ill-famed woman. What was the difference? Brother Branham said, she had representation up this way. So where was their representation? He said, they didn't have any representation up this way. And remember, I want to bring back to you, remember how Brother Branham speaks about us as believers. He says, when you have heard this truth and recognize it to be truth, this end time truth, he says, you've heard from your theophany. You've heard from your representation up this way. And so Brother Ram says, people in this dimension, they're either influenced from up that way or from down that way. And you can see these two influences in the world and in everything. But then Brother Branham going on to speak about these dimensions. And Brother Branham, he talks about, in the message of demonology, he speaks about this woman he calls Miss Piper. I looked it up. And her name was actually Leonora Piper. And she was born back, I think it was 1857, and she died in 1950. But Brother Branham, there was an article, Brother Branham said, that was done on him in Reader's Digest about this man. He was from Canada. And the story was done about this man from Canada that came to Brother Branham's meetings. And his child he had some type of something wrong with his brain. And so he had took him to different doctors everywhere, even the Mayo Brothers, and that he, this child had been examined and that, and the doctors have said, there's nothing we can do for this boy's brain. We cannot operate on him. There's no surgery can be done to correct this. And so the man, the baby was, he wasn't even a year old yet. And so the man, they couldn't afford a plane ticket. They couldn't afford for him and his wife to come down to California where Brother Branham actually was in meetings. So, and doesn't really explain why, but the husband took the baby and the wife stayed. And so the husband made his way on the bus. Perhaps maybe it was because had to go by, they, one of them had to go by themselves. And so so the husband takes the baby, rides on the bus from Canada down to the place in California where Brother Branham is holding these meetings. And he gets there and he doesn't have a prayer card. And so he tries to make his way up to the line, and there's other ones that are standing in line and have a prayer card, but they see him with this little child, and they can see the child sick. There's something wrong with that. So even though he doesn't have a prayer card, all these other ones standing in line with the prayer cards, they keep telling him, you go on up. And so they just keep passing him right up the line until he gets up there in the front. When he gets up the front, he meets Billy Paul. And Billy Paul asks him for his prayer card. He says, I don't have one. And he said, well, you're just going to have to wait over here then. And so the man went to go wait over there, but something caught Brother Branham's attention. And Brother Branham said, what about that man right there? And Billy Paul said, he doesn't have a prayer card. And Brother Branham said, tell him to come here. So they bring the man up to Brother Branham, and the man tells Brother Branham what's wrong with the child and that. And then Brother Branham, he says, will he live, you know? And Brother Branham says, I don't know. And then he starts to walk away, and then Brother Branham, a vision breaks. And so Brother Branham says, wait just a moment. He says, listen, you go down to a certain street. And when you get down there, you wait there, says, and then there's going to be a dark-headed woman that's going to come by there. And when she comes by, he says, she's going to talk to you, and she's going to tell you something that you're not going to want to believe, because all the doctors told you this boy can't be operated on. Nothing can be done for him. He said, but she's going to tell you of a doctor that can do the surgery, and then the child will be well. And so they sent the man away. And so the man goes down there, and he's down there, and while he's standing, this woman comes up. It doesn't click in the man's head, you know. The woman starts talking to him. She's asking him about the baby, what's wrong with the baby, and that. And so he's telling her that. And so she says, look, I know a doctor that you could take this baby to that'll be able to do this surgery. And the man says, no, all the doctors told me there's no surgery that can be done for this child to help it in that. But then something caught, and he realized this is a dark-headed woman standing here telling him this, and he remembers everything Brother Branham told him. So he finds out from her where this doctor is, takes the child down there. This doctor examines the child. The doctor does the surgery, and the surgery is successful, and the child is healed. The child's well. So the story was actually, Brother Branham said, wrote about in Reader's Digest. But Brother Branham says, he says, just a couple of weeks before that, he says, there was a story wrote about this Miss Piper, and she was a medium. And she, people would go to her, and she would commune with the dead, she said. And so she would bring people from spirits up from the dead to commune with people. And there was many that doubted the woman. She was, many came and tried to test it out and all that. And, you know, and of course there was many skeptics of it in that. But there was a man that was recorded that he went and tested out, and he says, everything she said, somehow she knew. I don't know how she knew, but she's telling me things she shouldn't know. And Brother Branham said, look, he says, there's a lot of, impersonating fortune tellers and all that out there. He said, but there actually is real witches. He said there actually is real mediums out there that could commune with the dead. He said, think about it. He said, when Saul, he couldn't get a word from the Lord. He went to the prophet. The prophet says, I can't give you a word of the Lord. You've become an enemy to God. And so he goes to the Urim and Thummim. It won't speak to him. So he goes to the witch of Endor, and he tells her, bring me up the spirit of Samuel. But he kind of deceives her. She doesn't know who he is. She doesn't know exactly who it is she's supposed to be bringing up. But when the spirit of Samuel comes up, she says, oh, you know, look what you've done. This is gods that are coming up. And Brother Branham goes into the scripture and shows how that Samuel stood there looking just like that he had looked when he was here on earth and dressed in that fashion and that. And he says, look, that witch called him up. And he says, and he came up there and said, and he was real. And said, he spoke to Samuel or to Saul. And he says, you know, many people think Saul was lost. He said, Saul wasn't lost because Samuel said, this day you and your sons are going to be killed and you'll be with me in paradise. But Brother Ram said, you realize, he said, that there are real ones there. He says, and Brother Ram says, this particular woman, her name is Leonora Piper, was actually her name. And he said, she's real. And said, and if you notice everything she says, she never mentions Christ. She never mentions anything about God or anything like that. He says, but it's about communion with the dead and that. And he says, so she's reaching over into this other dimension of the dead and communing, he says, with them. And he said, but now, he says, and he compared his ministry and how that, like this story, how that, he saw this vision and he told the man, you're going to meet, go down there. There's going to be a woman and so on and so all these things like that. And he said, so here he says, I'm in contact with the channels going this way and seeing those visions. She's in contact with the channels going down this way and communing with those dead. And he says, look, he says, it's both of them are real, he says, but it's one is communicating down this way and the other's getting his communication from up this way. And so then Brother Branham says, and he's going into this, he's talking all about this, but he gets on to it, talking about Paul being caught into the third heaven. And he says, where we live right here, he said, we live in a dump pile down here. He says, where there's all kinds, it's like a rubbish heap, smoldering with smoke. He says, have you ever been out around, he says, where they've got a city dump where they're burning all this trash and stuff like that? And he says, and the smell, the stench that comes in, it says, it burns your nostrils. He says, that's what we're living in here, in this realm where we are. He says, but we're not contaminated by it, even though we're living in it. And he says, there's all the smoke, he said, of the embers of sin. And he said, but we're living here. He says, but I was caught, he said, into that first heaven. And he said, in that first heaven, he said, I always wondered, and many of these things you're going to hear me that I've said before, but he said, I always wondered, would we be like just when we left here and we died, would we be like spirits just like floating around? He says, I wondered about that. He said, I was troubled by it. And he said, I thought, well, I won't have a mouth, so I won't be able to speak to the others. And he says, and my ears, I won't have my ears. And he said, and so I wouldn't be able to hear anyway. And he says, I thought, well, my mental faculties, my brain cells will be gone. He said, you know, what kind of condition am I going to be in? He says, but then when he was caught into that first heaven and he saw them there, he said, they were in bodies. And he said, and we could touch one another, and they could talk, and we could feel, and that. And he says, then he comes back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and says, if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we've got one waiting for us in the heavens. And he says, it's a body, he said, that's already there waiting on us. He said, a body that can feel, that can talk. And then he goes on to say, look, he says, you know, you say, how do I know I have that? How do I know I have that? So then he refers to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, where Paul said, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Then turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, if you will. We'll read two verses of scripture there. Kind of miss Brother Gene not being here. I mean, I miss all of them that aren't here tonight and that, but I just, I know some of them don't make it usually on Wednesday nights, but Brother Gene, I usually know if he's not going to be here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, what Brother Rams asked the question, he said, so what is the Holy Ghost to the believer? He says, well, he says, here it's called the earnest. He says, so Brother Rams says, let's break that down. What is earnest? What is the earnest? And he says, well, you know, if you were going to buy something, he said, you would go and you would put a down payment on it. And he says, you would give money saying, I'm going to buy this. Like if you were going to buy land, you would go and you'd put money down on it while you went through the process to purchase it. And so that money, that down payment you put on, he says, that's what's called the earnest. He said, so what is the Holy Ghost? He says, well, it's called the earnest. It's the down payment. He said, it's the proof that we do have that body waiting there. Because that's what the Holy Ghost is to the believer. It is the earnest or the down payment, the proof that you've got a body waiting there when this one's dissolved, that you actually got a place to go to. It is the earnest that you're actually connected with the channel going up this way, he said, to those dimensions. And so it's the, so what it says, the earnest of our inheritance. What's our inheritance? Well, we look at what our inheritance is heaven. Our inheritance is the new city of Jerusalem. Our inheritance is what it goes on to say, the purchased possession. What is the purchased possession? Well, what did Christ come down here to do? He came down here to redeem man. So and redeeming from what? Many times we think about redemption and all we think about is forgiveness of sin. But see, there's something that goes along with all of that, with the forgiveness of sin. It's the inheritance, because there had to be a price paid for sin. But there also had to be a price paid to what redemption is to buy back everything that man lost. Adam had it all, and he lost it all. And so, you know, in the Bible, it calls it the book of redemption. And so Adam loses this book, which is all the names of all of God's children. And so Christ comes to pay the price, to buy it back, to redeem it. And Brother Branham gives the analogy like, you know, if somebody goes and puts something in the pawn shop and then they can go back and pay the price and get it, buy it back. And he says, so Christ, what he did was, see, Adam lost he lost being able to live forever. In the day you eat thereof, in that day you'll die. So Adam lost that. Adam lost that body that didn't get sick. Adam lost that body that didn't grow old. Think about it. When Adam lost all that, remember what God was telling him? Now you're going to live by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to work now. And so Adam lost, so Christ came not only to redeem us by paying the price or the penalty, actually, for sin, for what man had done. He had to pay the penalty. But he also had to buy back everything that man had lost. Man had lost to be able to live forever and not die. Man had lost that body that didn't get sick, that didn't grow old, all that. So that was that's part of the purchase possession. That new body that we're going to is part of the purchase possession. And so the Holy Spirit to us that we have living inside of us, it is actually the down payment, earnest, or proof that we have that. And so we're waiting, he says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Well, it's already redemption, the price has already been paid. But we realize that the body we're living in is not actually in that redeemed state. So we're still here, as long as we're here in this dimension, this side of the grave, this side of the rapture, then we're living in these bodies that get old and die and get sick and everything else. But we've got the earnest of our inheritance, the earnest of the purchased possession. Hallelujah. Brother Branham, he goes on talking about that in the message of adoption. And he's talking about that having the earnest of the Spirit, that down payment. And then Brother Branham goes to illustrate something, and he told about this before in his life story, about when he had went to those meetings with those Pentecostal people. And he said there was this older gentleman. He said he was in his 90s and said he was a preacher. And said he was being helped up there. They said, well, he's going to preach this morning. And Brother Bam said, I looked and I thought, why, man, he can't hardly even move. He can't hardly get around. They're having to help him up there, and he's struggling and all that. How's he even going to stand up there? He ought to let one of these young guys get up there and preach. And Brother Bam said that this old man got up there to preach. And he said, brother, today we've heard preachers all day long about what Jesus has done on earth. He said, but I'm going to preach to you about what he did in heaven. And so, of course, he reads from Job 7 and 27, where were you when the stars and the sons of God and all that? And so Brother Branham says, then he got to preach it after a while. He said, all of a sudden, said he jumped up and said, woo-hee! Said, ain't enough room up here for me. And said, he was all over the place. And said, he was moving around like a young man. And Brother Branham said, he says, what was that? He says, that was the earnest. He said, now, if the earnest could make a 90-year-old man act like that, what is it going to be when we get the dividends for this? Hallelujah. He said, that was just the earnest. Hallelujah. He said, but when we get a hold of the dividends, he said, that redemption of that brand new body, and you're turned back to a young man or a young woman, and you're never going to die anymore. He said, and Jesus coming. And he said, and this, then that theophany that living in will come, he said, it didn't come, it's going to come back down, he said, to pick up a flesh, a glorified body. He says, but that theophany, he said, it didn't come through birth of a woman. He said it didn't come through sexual desire. He said that body, it was the purchased possession that Jesus Christ purchased for you and I. And he said, and so he says, and that's what we're going to be resurrected with. He said, and that's what we're going to live in, and we'll walk and talk and live and enjoy. And he says, and all that because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, now that is what the gospel is all about. And so, Brother Branham, then in having conferences, he talks about him being caught up into that first heaven. And he says, let me tell you, friends, you don't know what happiness is until you've crossed over the land yonder and really see what it is. And when I read that, it made me think of a couple of things. It made me think, obviously, Brother Branham, what he's describing of how he was caught up there and what he saw. But it also reminded me of when his first wife, Hope, was dying. And she said, you've preached about it. You've talked about it. She said, oh, but it is so beautiful. And she said, why did you call me back? That always, I know I mention that quite often, but that always is a real statement to me, how that here she was, a young woman, a mother of babies, and she was dying, and you would think mother of babies, they'd want to be where their babies were, you know. But she says, why did you call me back? She didn't want to come back. And then I thought about my dad, the testimony he gave when he had that experience. And my dad, when he came back, it took him a while. He actually got depressed. And he didn't want to come back. He didn't want to go on. And he actually really went through a little time of depression. He said he wanted to be there, not here. And he talked about how beautiful everything was and all that, but he talked about actually seeing believers there, and he mentioned seeing his father there, and that what joy that had brought to him, you know. And you know, Brother Bram says, you're not going to know what happiness is until this happens and we go there. Hallelujah. All right, now if you would go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to read a few more verses of scripture there and speak on a few more verses here before we close. Verse 5 of chapter 12, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself will I not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it should depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, Paul, we know Paul was actually a very highly educated man, you know, and we read about the other disciples and that of Jesus Christ when he was here, and that and the things that were said about them, you know, and that they were many of them, Peter and so forth, were ignorant and unlearned. They weren't really educated men of things like that. They, you know, and you look at the how the world was at that time and things, and it was that way in other times as well. But it was, you know, it was about, you know, many times they didn't go to schools and all these things like that so much as learning whatever trade, usually that whatever was the family trade. And that's what they learned so that from there they could provide for their families. And we know that Peter and his brother Andrew, their father was a fisherman. And so they were fishermen. And so, you know, that's what they grew up learning that. And, you know, and when it came to all the things about fishing and all these different things about, you know, going out on the sea and all these different things, I mean, they were very knowledgeable. They were educated in those things, you know, but they weren't educated in the things of the world and that. But Paul was a very educated man. Paul could read and write. Paul was actually a very religious educated man. He was educated by, I believe it was Gamaliel, a very astute teacher of the law of Moses and that. And so, you know, Paul was, he was actually very educated in the ways of the Jews and of the Jewish law and the Jewish customs and all these different things and that. And so, but then when, and you realize, think about this, when Paul, with all his education and the understanding that he thought he had from all of these things that he had been taught, with that, he was going out with that and had seeming power to bind the believers of Jesus Christ and that. But watch what God does. God takes him down and knocks him down out of all of that, takes all that power away from him. You know, he actually, he leaves Paul actually kind of seeming like stranded there where he had scales over his eyes and couldn't even see and had to get somebody to come down there and pray for him that the scales would fall off his eyes so that he could see. And of course, as we've said the last few Thursdays, that how the, you know, God had said, I'm going to show him what things he'll suffer for my name. And so, then we find that here's Paul then, he was in the ways of religion of the Jews and all that. He was a very strong, very educated man. And his education and all of it made him, in their ways, a strong person. But then Paul tells us he had to forget everything that he learned. He had to put all that aside. And here he's talking about that God actually allowed Satan to come and buffet him. And buffet, you know, Brother Bram said what that means. He says it means blow after blow. And so Brother Bram says, you know, Paul, he always had trouble with his eyes. And said, you know, Paul said he asked God three times, heal me of this. I want to be stronger. Heal me of this. And Brother Bram says, and Paul would get better. And then here it would come again. And it would come back to bother him again. And so God finally speaks to him and says, look, my strength's made perfect in your weakness. When you're weak, then you're strong. Why? Because, you know, Brother Bram says, when you take men, he says, that even men who are wanting to, you know, the Christian men are wanting to serve God and all, he says, when they think that they've got abilities and they're depending on their abilities, he says, God can't use them. And he said, you see so many, they go out and you know, they want to be a great preacher. They want to, you know, to be invited here and invited there and hold great meetings and all these things and all that. He says, and a lot, depending on their abilities. Now, I'm going to say this, and I just trust that you won't take me wrong in it, but I'll tell you something, friends. In my years of in this message, and especially in the years of being in the ministry and all the different men that I have come to know and come in contact with and all that, I've watched many young men that have raised up, and it seemed like people would be drawn to them, and everybody was saying, oh, what a great man this guy is, and what a great preacher he is, you know, and this one wanted to have him come preach, and that one wanted to have him come preach, and all that, you know, and then you find out, you find out things that they said, and things that what they were doing. You know, this isn't just some perception of mine. These are things that were told, that some of them said to actually other minister friends of mine, you know, said, you know, look, find a very successful preacher and then pattern yourself after him. And that's what many of them were doing. They wanted that. And so they would look at some other preacher that seemed to be successful in this message, and they would try to pattern their way of preaching, their style, or whatever they were doing, so that they could have this, you know, be this. And for a time, some of them, it seemed to work for them. And, you know, some of them went on to be pastors of churches here and there, and they, you know, they were out here and over there and out here and over there, you know, and all, you know, but there was just something about them. And then you find out, you know, a little bit down the road, you know what you end up finding out? They didn't have the earnest. They never even had the Holy Ghost. All they were doing was depending on their own ability, some type of an excitable speaker or something, you know, and their ability of putting this together, putting that together, whatever. And a lot of them, you know, they just say what that guy said. But there was a lot of people that were fooled. And then you find out they didn't have it. The next thing you know, you know, all of a sudden, something's happened at the church where they're pastor. So they're not going to stay there anymore. And then you find out something's going wrong in their marriage. Next thing you know, husband and wife have divorced and went their separate ways. And then this man, who was supposed to have been such a great speaker and all this, you know, and all that, you know, he goes out and he gets remarried. Sometimes I'd like to ask people, hey, what about him? Y'all thought he was so great. Brother Ram said, look, he said, don't try to be great. Don't try to be big. He said, if you want God to use you, see how small you can get. See how little you can get. He said, the man who's relying on his own abilities, said God can't use him. Brother Ram says, if you ever notice, he says, it's always the ones that are trying to get away from it. Those are the ones God goes after and uses. And Brother Ram says, you know, he says, look at Moses. Moses didn't want to do it. When Moses tried on his own abilities, he couldn't produce anything. So then when Moses gets down and he feels like he can't do it, you know, and he realizes his abilities ain't nothing, and then God comes down and says, I'm going to send you, and Moses starts saying, oh, I can't talk well, and you know, he said, you know, I can't do it, and all he says, and he was running from him, said, that's when God could use him. He said, because then Moses wouldn't be trying to do it himself. Instead, he'd be yielding himself to God. And he said, you look at all of them, he said, that were trying to get away from doing it. He said, that's the ones that God said, no, you're who I'm going to use. Jonah said, I don't want to go down there. God said, Well, I'm going to get you there. If I got to take you in the belly of a whale, you're going. You're going to Nineveh. Brother Bram says, always the ones, he says, that's trying to get away from it. And so Brother Bram says, and you hear this many times, especially young men, you know, that come to the Lord and all that, you know, and there's times where, and I've had people come to me, and look, I'm not trying to be disrespectful in any way in that, but, you know, they think maybe that God's got something for them to do, and they want to do something for God, you know, and all this. But Brother M says, don't seek after nothing. He said, if God's got anything for you to do, then he'll do it. Just let him take care of that. He said, but when we get these times, we have the day that everybody's wanting to do this and do that and become a great person. He says, look what we get into, see. He said, God don't use them. He said, if you notice, he says, it's the weakest, the rejected. Practically every hero that God ever had on the front line was that type of person. Someone who thought they were insufficient. Somebody who thought they were, you know, they didn't think they were a mighty man of valor. Gideon. But the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, thou mighty man of valor. What was so mighty in valor about him? He just was, he would believe God. It had nothing to do with his own might. And of course, we know the story about Gideon, you know, went down there and they had all these thousands of people with them to go down there and fight and that. And God said, you got too many. If you go down there with that, they're all going to be thinking that they can do this. He said, we got to weed them out. So they said, all right, anybody that's, is fearful or has gotten something back home, then y'all leave. And so then they said, now we still got too many. It's all right, go down there, and when they drink water, let's see how they drink water, and we're going to send some of them back. And then it gets down to where he just got a handful compared to the enemy they're going up against. They only got a handful left, and he goes, okay, now we got the right number. Well, we ain't got enough to go up against that many. He said, no, now we got the right number. Because the ones we got, it ain't how many you got, it's if they'll believe God or not. If they'll obey God, obey God's word. You know, and then of course, we know how that story goes. You know how they broke the lamps and they blew the trumpets and they shouted the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and how that they went on all the different sides of them, and when they broke these lamps and the different things, and the enemy heard it, why they thought, my goodness, they were surrounded by a great big host, and they ended up killing themselves. See, God did it all. Brother Abraham says, look, when he says God takes the men that many times we, you know, and what the lesson I want to give also from this is, many times even with our own things that we've got to do in this life, you know, we've got to work, we've got to earn money, we've got to do these different things and all that, you know, and we've got to take care of family, and we got to take care of people. But many times, and we got problems we got to face and figure out and have solutions. And many times the problem is we're trying to do it all ourselves. And that's when we have problems. We're depending on our ability. You know, well, you know, I gotta advertise and I gotta do this and I gotta do that and all this. Look, friends, what you really gotta do is depend on God. Everything that we've got is because God gives it to us. And you know, I know Brother Branham says, you know, they say that God helps those who help themselves. He says, no, God will help those who can't help themselves. But look, friends, God does require you to do your part. But mainly your part is just trusting him. Brother Branham says, the more we yield to God, the more he can use us. But as long as we're dependent on our own abilities and so forth, then we won't accomplish anything. We got to get to a place where we know we're nothing, then God can use us. And he says, you know, Brother Branham says, the greatest enemy I got is William Branham. He said, he's the one that gets in God's way. Now you think about that. We wouldn't think that. We think, well, he's the prophet of God. He's the prophet of this end time age. He says, but what he's talking about is his flesh. He said, he's the one, my flesh, it gets in God's way. He said, he's the one that gets to the place sometimes where he thinks he can do something about it. Man, we've all been there. We're faced with a situation or a problem or whatever and all that. You know, something going on. Maybe there's some kind of a, maybe it's even an issue in the family. And we think, well, you know, I'm going to step in and I'm going to take care of this. I'll get this straightened out. This one needs to be serving God and that one needs to quit doing that. I'm going to get this straightened out. You can't do it. God's the only one that can do it. But we've all been there where we think, well, we're trying to figure out now, what am I going to do about this? How am I going to face this? How am I going to come up with this? You know, for those of you that's married, you realize many times that, there's certain things, you know, she's weak in this way and the husband's strong in those particular things. And then, and I know a lot of times men around this message, a lot of them don't want to hear this, but sometimes the men, they're weak in certain things. And it turns around and seems like that's when God uses the wife and she's strong in that particular area, you know. And, you know, when I think about when I got the leadership of the Lord to come down here to pastor this church, you know, and I knew I had the assurance. God had spoke to me. I knew he was sending me here. I didn't know how it was going to be done. I didn't know how it was going to work out. Didn't know where I was going to live. Didn't know how I was going to get my family down here. But I knew God was sending me, so I went. And I had confidence, you know, and I would just, every little thing, I could see what God was doing, you know. And it was just a confirmation to me, yep, that's what God said he was going to do. God sent me. And I was, you know, I went and I heard a preacher one time preaching, and I was praying for me, and I kept talking to her about that. And while I was talking to her about it, you know, there were other relatives talking to her, you know, that was concerned and things like that. And that, you know, about me moving the family down here and you know, not having, maybe not having something maybe that they thought could have been dependable to take care of the family and that and all that, you know, and things. And I kept saying, nope, God sent me, this is what we're supposed to do and all that. And I heard this other minister say one time, he said, you know, God came down and said, he revealed to Abraham what he was going to do, that he was going to, have a son, and it was going to be by Sarah. And that he said, but there come a day that Sarah, and he's quoting Brother Branham, that Sarah, God had to give that revelation so Sarah would see that, you know. And then there's other things that we go through, you know. And I'll tell you this, what is this? Today's April 18th. I'll tell you what, man, every time April rolls around and I get that thing from the tax man, the accountant telling me how much I got to pay the IRS this year, you know, and I'm always like, man, Lord have mercy. How in the world am I going to do that? You know, and I would always, you know, back when Mina was working in Nashville, I'd call her up when I'd go down there and pick up the papers. I'd call up and say, we owe this amount this year. And man, I'd be so tore up and everything, you know, and she I was like, I don't know how we're going to do this. And she's, we do it every year. She says, we always got it. It always works out. And so she's never been tore up about that. And but now when it comes to, you know, other things than that, I don't get tore up. So, you know, we just, it works in America. It's like you help one another, you know. I remember one time we were living in her mom and dad's basement, and we woke up, and there was about that much water on the floor. It had rained that night, and the sump pump had quit working, and so there was about that much water all everywhere throughout the basement, you know. And she stepped out of bed first right into that water, you know. And so she was tore up. And I got up, and I was like, well, and we got to go get a sump pump, and we got to replace that sump pump, get that thing working and that, and we got to get this water out of this basement and all that. So I got to work doing all that, you know. And while I was doing it, I was just singing, there shall be showers of blessing. And I think she wanted to crown me. And, you know, but then there's other things I get all shook up about, you know. But, you know, then God puts you together and you're help to one another, you know. But I'll tell you this, when you're relying on your own abilities and think you're strong, I'm going to tell you what, you're not. And you ain't going to accomplish anything. But why would God tell him, when you're weak, then you're strong? Well, it's because it's not your strength that you're dependent on. It's God's strength in you. That's what really makes you strong. When you feel like you're at your strongest in your abilities, you're still nothing. And the quicker you realize that, then the quicker God can actually come on the scene and do whatever it is you need. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for this message, Lord, and from this scripture here in 2 Corinthians 12. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless your people now and go with them, Father. I pray, God, that many of them got work tomorrow, the last day of the week, and that I pray you'll be with them, watch over them, maybe some have some tasks or work or something they've got to do, Lord, even the next day, Father, on Saturday. Watch over them, keep them safe, and that, Father, I pray. And, Lord, I pray that you'll just go with us, Lord, and then bring us back here at the appointed time on Sunday, Father. And we're looking forward, Lord, to hearing from you on Sunday. We give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.